Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
We can get on the line with us. I want to get Vernon Dozier on the line, a high school football coach. He is coach of Belmar Academy's varsity football team, but he's also an educator. He's one of the administrators there at Belmar. He is one of the senior class advisors, teaches history, teaches social studies, and he's on the line with us to discuss something, but really more as a coach, Vernon, this score. This young man playing Division III basketball on Tuesday night, setting an NC2A record of 138 points.
Right.
And I know you have some definite opinions about that. I want to let my audience in on this. First of all, I want to tell you, you are listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and a very pleasant good evening to you, wherever you are. We're here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and with me is Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, Margaret Gray. Margaret, you played basketball in college, didn't you?
Well, I played. I played on the women's team. Yeah, I played.
What year?
I played in my freshman and my sophomore year, and by then I'd grown a little bit tired of it. But
were you any good?
Was I any good? Yes. Well,
did you start?
No, I was not a starter. No.
What position?
Yeah. What position you play?
You know, before, I don't like the way he's looking at me.
What?
He's saying, what position did you play? Looking me up and down.
I'm looking you up and down.
Margaret.
What? Ask your question again.
What position did you play?
I was a guard.
All right. Where'd you go to school? You went to Penn, right?
I went to the University of Pennsylvania. Not Penn State, bud. The University of Pennsylvania.
But what's the difference? She never says.
Penn State. You want to tell him?
No, you do it.
But Penn State is the public. They're both public universities, I think.
Yes, they're both public universities. Penn State is the state university, and the University of Pennsylvania is the University of Pennsylvania. I don't know how to describe it.
Okay, well, in any event, they're two different schools. So with me here is Vernon Dozier. So you played a guard.
Yeah, I played up. I played well enough to substitute. On, you know, when we were rotating the lineups, we were rotating guards, and I would go in. But I was, and I liked playing basketball, and I could have been probably a lot better than I was. But I just, by my junior year, I was grown very, very tired of that. I wanted to get married, and I really wanted to leave Pennsylvania, and I wanted to come out west and try my hand at the at acting. So I'd gone into theater arts, and I really didn't have time any longer.
You know, it was interesting. My son, when he was in high school, he played football, and Coach, are you there?
Yeah, I'm ready.
My son, Nick, when he was playing high school football, he also was involved in the theater program at school. And when we would go and see him in these different productions, you know, whether he was in Guys and Dolls, I think the senior class every year they would, not the senior class, but the theater group, would every year they'd have a show, and Guys and Dolls, and they did...
Didn't you say they did West Side Story?
West Side Story, yes, they did. They did Godspell. And a lot of the football players were in the theater arts program. And I don't know if you've... Have you seen that? I didn't know that football players... I thought it was a little bit different when I was in school.
I don't know. That's not anything I pay any attention to, but...
Okay. How about you, Margaret?
No, I It's really not... And I know you have... It's really not interesting. Just...
Yeah, move on.
It's really not interesting, huh?
Not really, no.
I will. Can I jump in, Phil?
Go ahead.
I'm on here for a reason. I think it should be for the reason that I'm on here and not to listen to you talk about. I don't mean to be rude, Phil, but
no, it's all right.
I just listening to you talk about your son dancing around. You played football, and that I'd love to hear about that.
All right, never mind. We're on with Vernon Dozier here, and we're going to talk about this player, Jack Taylor. He plays for Grinnell College or Grinnell College. I haven't even had enough time to figure out how to pronounce it, which is probably very disrespectful of me.
I think it is. I think before you do a news story, it should be something that you would familiarize. What?
Just let me finish, please.
I can tell you, Phil, I think it's pronounced Grinnell or Grinnell.
Do you know the school?
Say that again?
Do you know the school?
No, I do not. I'm just taking a wild guess. To me, it looks like Grinnell. To me, that's Grinnell or Grinnell, something like that. Probably. I know it's Faith Baptist, which probably isn't that Faith Baptist Bible College. I'm familiar with them because I've heard of them. And I don't know where I heard of Faith Baptist. I think I might have been to a coach's clinic and someone said I'm from Faith. Someone introduced themselves and said that they're from Faith Baptist. I don't know, but I wouldn't have taken notice on that. But the Grinnell, so probably is Grinnell.
All right, well, we'll figure it out. Anyway, Jack Taylor thought his cold shooting streak from the weekend was spilling over into the week. But it turns out Taylor was just about to heat up. The Grinnell College sophomore guard, I'm pronouncing it Grinnell.
All right, well, again, I think it's Grinnell.
I think it's Grinnell or probably it's Grinnell, which no one has.
Let's forget about what it is, okay?
Yeah, but she's going to do the French.
Yeah, it's Grinnell.
That's the French pronunciation.
In my opinion, yes.
The French pronunciation.
Yeah, that's... All right, so Grinnell College in Iowa, sophomore guard Jack Taylor scored an NCAA record of 138 points during the Pioneers' 179-104 win against Faith Baptist Bible College on Tuesday night. Mr. Taylor said, I don't really think it's set in. I think it definitely will in the next few days. I can't really get my mind around it right now. Taylor is a 5'10", 170-pound guard from the Black River Falls, Wisconsin area. He shot 52, now listen to this, Coach, 52 of 108 from the field, 27 of 71 from a three-point range, 7 of 10.
What was the three-point?
The three-point was 27 of 71.
Oh, if I had a guy taking 71 three-point shots, I would probably bench him just on principle alone, but the guy's that red hot. Although I got to tell you, 27, you said 27 of 71?
27 of 71, yeah. What is that, 30%?
Well, I guess it's, it's a little bit more than 30%, but it's from three-point range.
That was three-pointers, yeah.
I would like to think that he could do better than that, but again, I'm probably splitting hairs.
Well, Coach, I mean, my God, how many points do you get for a three-pointer?
Are you out of your mind or something?
Margaret, think about it.
What?
How many points do you get for a three-pointer?
Yes.
Well, why would he think?
Who's the way, ma'am? This is the coach. This is Coach Dozier. You get 3 points for a three-pointer, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Coach.
You're welcome. You might as well be polite to the lady.
All right, but I have 3 points for a three-pointer.
I asked the question, and I got a polite answer from the coach. I thank you very much, sir.
You're more than welcome.
All right, in any event, Taylor, 5'10", 170 pounds, from Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Black River Falls. You've already been over that. Can we move on down?
Yeah, move on down to the part. You already did. All right, I'll move down. I know where I am. The 138 points passed Clarence Bevo Francis, who held both the NC2A and collegiate scoring mark when he dropped 113 points versus Hillside in 1954. Now, where did Clarence Bevo Francis go to school?
Probably went to Grinnell.
Why do you say that?
But I would say it's from Grinnell now.
Did he go to Grinnell? Or did he go to Grinnell? I don't know. What school are you talking about now?
We're talking about this school this guy is going to. What do you mean?
Well, they don't say. It might be the...
This school might be a school where they produce these kinds of shooters.
No, it's not. No, they don't mention the school the guy went to. They said 138 points scored by Taylor passed Clarence Bevo Francis, who held the NC2A and collegiate scoring mark when he dropped 113 versus Hillside in 1954, but they don't say what school he went to. Anyway, it's a kind of a life-changing moment, Grinnell coach Dave Arsenault said.
What a name.
Yeah.
Dave Ars what?
Dave Arsenault.
Well, at least it is an Ars face or something like that.
Yeah, but I'm not an Ars face.
I would think that imagine a guy being called Coach Ars, you know, Ars face.
Right, we just said that.
Yeah, we already said that.
Oh, okay. So you said it.
Never mind whether you said it or not. The coach was, in any event...
It is a little bit rude. If you already said it, allow me to say it. And I don't know.
All right, forget it. It's not that big of a deal.
Well, we said arseface, and then Robert said it, and then the coach says it, and he thinks that he's part of the...
Yeah, you thought you were part of the... Like, you came up with it.
Who cares who came up with it? It's not even important.
Yeah, but he's all like, hey, imagine our face.
I said it independent of you people, though.
Fine. Let's take a break, and let's get this thing under control.
Now, wait a minute. You can't.
Would you be a little more polite to my guest?
Well, what we do?
what you did was, if he says arseface after you said arseface, allow him to feel like he came up with it. He's a guest. He's a guest. He's a guest. You understand?
Yes, he's a guest. He's a guest. He's a guest.
Huh. He's a guest. He's a guest. He's a guest. Yeah, he's a guest. He's a guest.
Everybody now, one, two.
All right. We'll be right back to Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I said arseface right at the same time.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We got Mr. Lloyd Bonafide on the line, 877-876-PHIL. Lloyd, Lloyd's on where? What line is he on?
Line 32.
Line what, bud?
42.
Well, then why are you saying 42?
I said it's on 42.
Well, which is it? I'll try this one. Mr. Bonafide.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Yes. Bill, you were discussing Bevo Francis, and Bevo Francis played college basketball when I was in the Navy. We had deployed to Korea, but I recall reading of his exploits and enjoying the exploits of Bevo Francis and the different things that he did. Now, I want to let your listeners know that Bevo Francis is still alive, and he lives in, I believe he lives in New Mexico. He went to the University of the Rio Grande.
And did you know him, Mr. Bonafide?
No, I never knew him, but I followed his exploits in the news. As you know, we read the Stars and Stripes when we were deployed to Korea. And so we would read the Stars and Stripes and get news of his exploits. And he scored 118. Now, one thing to remember is that he scored 116 points, but they excluded that from the record book.
Why is that, sir?
Because it was against what they deemed to be a lesser competition. It was against the junior college.
And you learned, did you learn all of this in Stars and Stripes?
I learned all of it. Yes, I did, sir, reading the... And who am I speaking with?
This is Vernon Dozier, sir. I'm a coach.
Hold on for...
Oh, God.
Hold on for just a moment. I'm sorry, Mr. Hendry. Oh, God.
Are you all right, sir?
Yeah, you okay, Lloyd?
Yeah, no. I feel great. I feel fantastic, but I had to clear the... I had to clear an area there, and now there's full fluid motion going on now. And so...
Yeah, this Coach Dozier again.
Yes, let me just finish what I'm saying, okay?
All right, but I wanted to ask a question, if I might. Everything you know about this Bevo Francis you learned in the Star... in the, was it Stars and Stripes?
Everything I know about Bevo Francis... Well, yes, we read about the exploits, and when we deployed to Korea, you know, we were fighting for our country in Korea, and so we didn't have the opportunity to enjoy the basketball and these other events.
Okay, but what I'm saying is you didn't know Mr. Francis. You're just saying that you read a newspaper.
Well, you know something? It's more than you did, because you weren't... Did you read about him in the newspaper?
I was barely alive at that time. I was...
You were barely alive. Yeah, okay. So you were barely alive. You said it. I didn't.
Sir, I'd just been born, you know.
All right. I mean, there's no point. We have to be contentious here.
The point is that this... Lloyd, the point is this man, Bevo Francis...
I can't hear the lady.
Can I?
Bud, turn something down.
About this.
The point...
You turn her mic down.
The point, Lloyd... Lloyd, are you there?
I can't hear you.
Lloyd.
Look, why do you have me on the program if you're listening to Grandpa here? He read the Stars and Stripes.
Well, I heard that. And
Hold on, everybody. I want to... Thank you very much, Lloyd, for your call. Let's get back to the coach, okay?
Now, that's how you're talking. Thank you very much.
Wait a sec.
I just think, Mr. Andrew, if you're going to have a guest on, you know, you should...
All right, you're right. We're talking with Coach Dozier. We're talking about the 138 points that was scored last night by this Jack Taylor of Grinnell or Grinnell or Grinnell or whatever the hell the name of the school is. And Coach Dozier, though you were a football coach.
Okay, well, hold on for a minute. I've coached all sports. You know, I coached football because I was most successful at football, and Belmar over the years has hired basketball and baseball coaches, although I have to say, in all candor, and I think in fairness to me, none of them have lasted anywhere near the length of time that I have. So I'm best at Boo Ball or Bob Ball. I got it mixed up. I said I was going to say basketball, and I was going to say football, and I came out
with Boo Ball.
What, you know something, if you're trying to be funny...
No, ma'am, I'm not. I got nervous, and I mixed up football and basketball, and I came out with blue balls. Well, I'm sorry.
All right. Just never mind. You came out with something, and now it's... But we know that you're talking about what?
The sport that I coach, which is blue... Football.
Football! Is it football?
It's football, sir. It's not football! The way you said it.
Look, don't get angry at me. You're the guy... I can't believe we're having an argument about this. You know...
You're right, Mr. I apologize. I just...
Well, what are you nervous about?
I'm on the radio. I'm not used to being on the radio, and I apologize. I truly do. I'm just, as I said, I'm not used to being on the radio. But what I wanted to say to you is, this man Taylor, who plays the sport of bunt... Boy, I tell you, I'm having a hard time with that.
Basketball?
Yes, sir. I'm having a harder time believing that he was playing against anything that amounted to a hill of, you know what, rabbit turds. Because in modern basketball, if a guy goes out and scores 138 points, at some point you have to say either the other team is laying down or they should not be allowed to play or field a big-time college program. And I think at this particular point, this school, this Faith Baptist, whatever they call it, I think what's more to the point is that the NC2A should investigate that program and find out whether they're actually fielding a big-time college program.
All right, now that's an interesting point of view. What you're charging, or is this just an opinion?
I'm going to tell you right now, it's an opinion. Yeah, it's an opinion, but I do not see how a guy goes out and scores 138 points against a big-time college program. So,
So you're saying that are they cheating?
I don't think so, unless they find some evidence of impropriety, which would be the height it would be the complete height of irony to find out that a Jesus, you know, one of these Christian schools like our school is a Catholic school, is engaged in cheating. You know,
they would go to hell, wouldn't they? I mean, technically, I don't know about it.
They would do what?
They'd go to hell?
Who would go to hell, bud?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. He's saying that because it's a Christian school, they would go to hell.
I don't know, son. I'm not a preacher.
But, bud, let's put it this way. It would be a very public scandal. I'm sure a lot of people would say because they're a Christian college, it makes it all the worse. But whether they would all automatically go to hell, I think it would depend on whether there's a hell, whether they believe in hell, whether they all were involved in cheating, and whether in their religion cheating on basketball involves going to hell, you see?
Well, I don't understand about that. I thought you go to hell.
Who goes to hell? I don't know, man. Who knows, you know?
I can't believe that we're involved in a...
Let's just get back to the coach. So anyway, coach, because what I think you're saying here, it's very interesting... You're saying that it is impossible for a big-time school, a big-time college program, to be big-time and give up that kind of point total.
I believe so. So I think it's not so much, I'm not trying to take anything away from this young man, Mr. Taylor, but I am saying that the NC2A or the NAIA, which I don't know which it is, I think is it NC2A?
It's a Division III NC2A school, yeah.
All right, I think that the NC2A should immediately mount a investigation to find out. This is nothing that's going to, I don't see anybody, this is not a scandal or anything. I think they just have to make sure that this school qualifies as a NC2A program at any divisional level. It could very well be that they don't belong at Division III. Maybe they belong, maybe they belong, maybe they belong, Maybe they balloon. Boy, I'm having a heart ever since I said the, ever since I said boob ball and then I said blue ball. Has that ever happened to you?
Hold on, Coach, okay?
What's that, Phil?
Hold on for a second, all right?
All right, I just died.
We'll be right back as we talk to Coach Vernon Dozier about the 138 points scored in a basketball game, a college basketball game last night by a sophomore at Grinnell College. 138 points this guy scored. It breaks a NC2A record that was set in 1953. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Speed it up, Phil.
I'll go as fast as I want.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So there is, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry, there he is, it's Bevo.
That's Bevo Francis there.
That's Bevo Francis. Let's get Coach Dozier back. Coach, are you looking at your Phil TV tonight?
I am, Phil. That's, yes, that, he looks like a stud there. Oh, he's still alive, huh?
Bevo Francis is still alive.
Well, why are we talking about him? The other guy's the guy.
Well, I just wanted to talk about the guy that whose record was broken.
Yeah, the guy's back on, too.
Which guy?
That Lloyd guy?
The Lloyd guy. The gentleman that we don't... Lloyd, we're all done with you.
Well, I called up to talk about this man that you have on your screen on the Phil TV, Bevo Francis, and I told you that if you hang up on me or you do...
Mr. Henry, can I...
That's all right. We put him on hold.
Well, thank you, because I'm not about to sit and be assaulted by a man who sounds to me as if he should be... I'm sorry, it sounds to me like someone should restrain him in the chair that he sits in, and I'm sure he's a man that spends a good part of his day in a chair facing a window that hopefully the morning sun gets to. I mean, you know, that's what we're talking about. And for all of the...
Yeah! I just broke off of hold because I heard what this ass was saying.
Wait a minute.
What did you just say to me?
I said I broke off of hold because I heard what you were saying. If you think that...
You broke off of hold. Are you listening to this? Hey, hold on, Phil. Hold on.
Wait a minute. We got to get...
Hold on. Hey, Ben. Dude, say that to this guy.
Hello? Yes, who is this?
I'm a weight coach.
I broke off of hold to talk to that ass.
Which what?
The one I'm assuming the one you're standing next to.
I'm standing next to my wife right now.
Give me the phone. He's standing next to his wife. Did you mean that?
You know full well I didn't mean that. Now, I called to say...
Where'd you go?
I put him back on hold. Would you fix the hold button, Bud, so that we can continue?
I don't know. The guy's going to break out of the hold.
Is this some kind of a joke? Because I'm getting a little nervous. A moment ago, we were talking about this Bevo Francis, which, by the way, that's how it's pronounced. So to sit here and Phil to...
Hold on. Bevo Francis?
I think that is untoward of a woman to come on a radio program.
No, I happen to know... Is it spelled B-E-V-O?
Yes.
Bevo or Bevo. Now, you don't have to believe me, and I know you think I'm trying to be funny.
Yeah, at this particular point, Margaret, it's past funny, okay?
Can I just finish, and I'll get off the phone, because I don't want to stay on this line any longer with a group of fruit balls.
Oh, yeah. I did it again, Marjorie.
I'll stop it.
No, I won't.
Is this Mr. Bonafide?
Yes, you know full GD well it's Mr. Bonafide.
That's it. I'm checking out. I don't need to be on the same line with some freak, okay? Some guy that breathes some fumes over in Korea... Or whatever it was they were feeding you in them in those comfort houses, huh? You know what I'm talking about, too, don't you?
Why, you dirty, filthy, if you're referring to what I think you're referring to...
Oh, full well I am. I bet you took full advantage of those comfort girls, didn't you, huh? Well, listen, pal, I'm checking way, way off of this planet. And I can tell you one other thing.
Did you put him on hold?
I hung up? Yes. No, what did you do, bud?
Put him on hold just to see if he can break off a hold.
Will you just hang up on the guy?
Oh, that guy can't break off a hold any more than I can't break off a hold. But hey!
I just broke off a hold. And I can tell both of you that you can go...
Okay, good. I don't want to talk to either one of those guys. Keep them out of my life. Keep them off of my phones. Keep them off of my phone banks. We're all done with both of them.
I have never in my life been talked to so rudely as for you to tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about when I tell you that I'm talking about a man that you were talking about, right?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What am I talking? Are you trying to be a smartass now?
No, I'm not. What are you talking about? I just was talking to an old man that's breaking off a hold than the other guy.
I'm talking about the pronunciation of the B.
Man, you're going to say you say the wrong thing, and Mr. Henry be taken off the air.
Yeah, you better watch out how you say beef. And I didn't say it.
If you guys think you're going to mess around with that name just so you can slip one in on me.
Slip what? Slip something into what?
Yeah, let's see. You want to say Bevo so you can slip some...
Shut up! The name is Bevo, or Bevo, not Bevo.
My understanding is it's... Well, you're a child.
I mean, you know, maybe I'm a child. But I don't even want to talk about Bevo or this whatever name. I want to talk about the other guy. And by the way, bud, if we're going to talk about sports, then I would suggest you find somebody else because Coach Dozier, in my opinion, and this is only my opinion... has lost his ever-loving mind, okay?
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Because, first of all, he broke off a hold the same way Lloyd did, and right there is an indication of severe mental strain. Secondly, I don't know. Secondly, something. Secondly, he got all upset, I think, over that whole arseface thing. All right, in any event, you know the news. You've got it the way we've got it. When we get it, you'll get it.
Smile when you say that.
Okay, well, I am. I'm smiling. Anyway, you know the news. That man, Taylor, his name is Jack Taylor, and according to the Oklahoma City Thunder star, Kevin Durant, and one of the reasons why this is making national news today is because many NBA players are weighing in on this. They talked to a number of NBA players, including Mr. Durant, and he said, you deserve a shot at Jack Daniels on that. While the 138 points drew national attention, the 108 shot attempts equally stood out. The New York Knicks' Carmelo Anthony was stunned when he heard the news after his team's victory over the New Orleans Hornets. He said, I never heard of nothing like that. That's like a video game, Anthony said, an incredulous look on his face. How can you shoot 100 times, though? His elbow's got to be sore, Knicks teammate Raymond Felton joked. Faith Baptist, located in Ankeny, Iowa, is a member of the Midwest Christian College Conference. The schedule on the school website listed the Grinnell game as an exhibition. But according to Grinnell Sports Information Director Ted Schultz, the game absolutely is official and the record will count. Schultz said because of conference rules on the number of games that a team can play, Faith Baptist has to list some as exhibitions. Schultz said Grinnell has encountered that before but did check with its conference, the Midwest, on Tuesday morning to confirm the game counted. It's an exhibition for them but not for us, he said.
What does that mean, an exhibition?
It means it doesn't count for that team. It means it's you could view it as a warm-up. It's an exhibition. It's a fan. You know, it's like in college or in pro football, they have exhibition games. Or in baseball, they have...
They're like in spring training?
Like spring training games, exactly.
So it doesn't count, meaning what?
It means it's just to practice, you know?
Yeah, like they're trying to practice before the season starts.
But
this is in the middle of the season.
Yeah, because college is weird. College, they schedule odd numbers of games. And there's always this controversy in college, more in football than in basketball, that the teams load up their own schedules. You know, the teams sort of schedule who they want to play and who they don't want to play. And sometimes it lets a team in for a lot of criticism. Like, for instance, a lot of the SEC or the Southern teams in college football, people criticize them because all they do is play each other and they don't really get outside of their conference. I mean, there's a lot of teams in their conference. I don't know how some of these conferences can play any games outside of their conference when there's so many schools in it. Which, by the way, what was that thing you were showing me, Robert?
Yeah, the Big Ten.
There's going to be 14 teams in the Big Ten.
What is that? See, that I don't understand. How can you have 14 teams in a Big Ten?
That's not what it's called, a Big Ten.
What?
What do you mean, bud?
Well, I mean they did, but now it means something else. If you're going to call a Big Ten, and because they're on account of there's 10 teams, okay, all right, okay, I understand that. But now there's going to be 14 teams. The 10 got to represent something else. And I think it's probably like you were saying about Hercules. And I'm not trying to be dirty. If you just keep an open mind about it.
A Hercules?
Oh, I understand what that... You really have a mind that just is marinating in dung. You know that...
What's that mean?
So funny. Marinating in dung.
I really think it is, yes.
The Big Ten has added four schools. The Big Ten in college.
Yeah, like a Big Ten football?
Yeah, but I mean, the Big Ten is the conference for all sports. Now, the Big Ten, you know, they added Penn State, and I know they've just added, was it Maryland and Rutgers? And I heard the reasoning. They said, well, you know, the Midwest, the population base in the Midwest isn't growing anymore, but it is on the East Coast, so we needed to base ourselves, we needed to anchor ourselves on the East Coast. So they have Rutgers, they've got Maryland, they have Penn State, and I don't know the other team, but that's an enormous conference. That's 14 teams, which means obviously they're going to have two divisions, you know. So
I couldn't think of anything more boring to talk about than the Big Ten and the Big 14.
They don't call it Big 14. They call it a Big Ten in the manner of Hercules.
If he says that one more time.
Bud, you don't. Just shut up.
But what? Does it make sense?
No, it doesn't make sense. No.
Why not?
Who's asking you, Robert?
Well, you've got a good point.
Why not? Why not? That's what you're asking me, is why not?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Because it doesn't make any sense from the standpoint of simply trying to keep, you know, from being shut down completely or put into a mental institution. They're not going to say, I think we'll call ourselves the Big Ten because we've got a Big Ten like Hercules did, you know? In other words, they're not talking about virility, and they're not going to promote that as something that represents virility, because the commissioner and all of the people associated with the administration of the Big Ten would be put into a mental institution. Okay?
Well, why do you think a mental... I would think a jail cell.
No, you're not going to put a guy in a jail cell for that. You put him in a nut house. I'd put him in a nut house. I'd say, I may agree with you. I may think that's a great name, but for you to publicly say, that's why we call it the Big Ten, because of our Big Ten... For you to publicly say that, you belong in a nut house. So I'd fire them, and then I'd sign the papers on them.
That's just you don't show your loyalty.
Well, Bud, I got to tell you, I question your own. I mean, you know, I've questioned your mentality for years. But for you to actually sit and think, I got to be loyal to a guy because he called the...
You see what I'm saying? And why it is you put up with them?
Well, I mean, he's, you know, he's a good kid, but he's an idiot. You're just an idiot, Bud. Just face up to it, man. Live with it, man. Or as the man said to Jake LaMotta in the movie Raging Bull, live in it, son. Live in it. All right.
What was that?
When they were throwing him in his jail cell. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We do have other news besides this 138 points and the Big Ten. All kinds of stuff going on here in the world. We've got more news to report on our website and things to come in terms of our podcast and just, you know, really cool stuff. I don't know what. We'll find something. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth. That's a great team. Is our
Thank
bitch.
You.
The Phil Henry Show.
Coming up is a lot of cool stuff.
Well, yeah, it is. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We have Doug Danger on the line with us, and ordinarily we do not talk to Doug about gay issues because I know, Doug, first of all, you don't like talking about gay issues, even though you are a very much a public gay man, as well as a gay journalist, as you say. But I did want to ask you about this because I know that you have first of all, you have a very strong opinion about this particular topic. And secondly, I wanted to let people know, friends of ours on Facebook.
Sounds like the mafia.
I was going to say, yeah.
It sounds like what?
Sounds like the mafia.
I think they were saying, Phil, it sounds a little bit like the mafia, you know, when you're a friend of ours.
Oh, well, no. Well, we know that Doug is not, he's not in the mafia.
People that say I'm in a gay mafia. I'm not even in a gay mafia. I'm just a gay man and a gay journalist, Phil. That's all I am. I'm a humble gay man and a gay journalist trying to get my job done. You know, I'm trying to do the very best job I know how to do.
Well, I think that's a very good way of saying it. Now, this story having to do with San Francisco banning public nudity, it's an interesting story because, first of all, San Francisco is a city out here on the West Coast that one might argue is perhaps even more socially liberal than our own city here of Los Angeles or any other city that one might think of when one thinks of a socially liberal climate like a Miami, for instance, or maybe even, although I don't think you think of New York when you think of socially liberal. Would you, Margaret?
No, I agree with you. I think New York is very much a more, New York is a sort of an old, you know, as modern a city as New York is, as bustling and as busy a city as New York is, it still represents and still has a sort of an old money feel to it, like Boston. And it might be because of the East Coast feel to it.
Yeah, so I think if we think about socially liberal cities, San Francisco comes to mind. But there, the ban on nudity, which came about, I guess, because of certain public gatherings that just began to bother not only the city supervisors and certain elements in certain other kinds of public figures, but also the citizens at large, Doug. But it was not who one would necessarily expect the support coming from, was it?
Well, the people that support the let's just say it as it is, the people that support the public nudity ban in San Francisco are gay people. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That doesn't mean that I've got any special, you know, I don't have any special, you know, knowledge of the gay community because I'm just as much an outsider, if you will, in the gay community as I am in any other kind of community. I do that on purpose, too, Phil, because as a reporter, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I want to make sure that I'm objective and I don't identify with any community. I'm not a member of any clique. You know, I'm not buddy-buddy or in the inside of any political group or anything like that. I don't know what's going on in the gay community any more than you do, you know.
And, well, come on, man. I mean, you're a reporter.
Well, I'm saying that a little. You know, I'm exaggerating a little bit. What I'm trying to say is, I would not be worth a pinch of you know what, if you pardon me for saying, if I was one of these people that identified more with one group than with another. I don't think it makes for good objective journalism. So I try to be as objective as I possibly can. Now, having said that, the gay community in San Francisco, not unlike a gay community in any other city, is probably a little bit sick and tired of a lot of these straight people coming into town from the outlying suburbs. And there's a picture here on the San Francisco Gate. This lady by the name of Gypsy Taub, she's talking against the Board of Supervisors' decision to ban public nudity. She took her clothes off. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I know what a beautiful woman looks like, and she ain't it. You know?
Where is this? SF Gate?
Yeah, so San Francisco Gate, if you take a look at her, she's got a face that'll stop time. She's got a body that would probably set civilization back years if anybody decided to sculpt that. She's got a pair on her that, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I can tell you right now, I know a quality woman when I see one. I know what a quality, beautiful woman looks like. I know what a beautiful woman's body looks like. She's got a pair on her that are, you know, another 6 months, those are going to hit her knees. When she walks,
all right, okay, Doug, I get it, all right.
I'm just trying to tell you, I'm a gay man, a gay journalist, and even I can see that she's about as frightening as Halloween Mary. And
well, you know something, I'm having a little hard, this is very difficult for me to hear. As a woman, I understand you're trying to make a point, but as a woman, I think it's very degrading.
Well, then she shouldn't degrade the city council meeting or the city supervisor meeting by walking in there with a body like that that will set civilization back years. Okay? If anybody decided to sculpt that, any part of that, what I'm looking at, then and put it in front of a library, they would traumatize old people, school children, kids getting off of buses, everybody, everyone. It would be like out of On the Beach. You'd just suddenly raise the periscope and there wouldn't be a living soul. Every Christian soul would...
All right, Doug, you made your point, okay? She's ugly.
No, but she's not just ugly. She's straight. And there's something about an ugly straight woman, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, it's almost like saying, hi, I'm white, so I get to sit at this lunch counter, and you don't, you're black, and the white guy that gets to sit at the lunch counter
weighs 300 pounds. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, that guy is a gay man's gay journalist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Mr. Dangler. That makes sense about what you just said.
Who's talking now?
This Bud Dickman.
All right, so you understand what I'm saying, huh, Bud?
I do, yeah, because, you know...
Oh, hold on for a minute. My name's not Dangler, though. Okay?
Yeah, his name, you just got his name all messed up.
I'm sorry, you mean I what a name?
My name is Doug. Have you told these people what my name is?
Doug, his name is Doug Danger, Bud.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Well, the name is Doug Danger, or the name is Doug Dangler, but we still have this problem, and that is you degrading women. And now you're saying that because she's straight, she is doubly ugly. Is that what you're saying?
No, ma'am, I'm not saying because she's straight, she's doubly ugly, but I'm saying that unlike the people... Can you hold on for just a second? Are you going up to Presidio? Are you going to Presidio? Where's this bus stop? I gotta take the bus, Phil.
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back with Doug Danger as we talk about San Francisco's ban on public nudity that is supported by the gay community and is being protested by a bunch of straight nude people. It's very weird, but it's San Francisco. We'll be back to talk more about it here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Man, just a Dangler, hold on, okay?
You call me Dangler one more time, man. I'll come up there.
Gotta hold on.
Danger is his name.
Well, tell that kid my name is Danger. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You know that? You know that kid?
Yeah.